Well, Bill Behrens again, and this we will call part two for this week. Normally I try to do an all-in-one segment, but lately the system seems to decide arbitrarily to simply say, well, you're done. And in past weeks I've talked enough, I thought, so I didn't bother to re-record, particularly after doing 20-some minutes of stuff. And this time I was sort of just getting started, so what the crap, will keep going. Anyway, what I was talking about was the fact that some real heat was built, some real tension, some real apprehension on the Ric Flair Jay Lethal match, a match I really wasn't looking forward to and didn't anticipate would be all that good, but from most reports had good crowd heat throughout, maybe the best of the night. One has to wonder, and I know the answer, and so should most good wrestling fans, did the good setup, the actual tension, the actual heat, the actual good guy, bad guy aspect of this, did it translate to the crowd response for the match at the pay-per-view? And the answer, of course, is yes. Maybe TNA's booking will realize that that can be true with various segments. You can get people emotionally involved if you try, and if you do understand good versus evil. And it doesn't have to be pure good, and it doesn't have to be pure evil, but there has to be a conflict. You have to find a way for people to be involved. In fact, I've been reading the graphic novels, which, by the way, are not comic books. They're graphic novels, just in case anybody wonders. And one by Mark Millar, The Wanted, one I just read recently, and that's based on a relatively amoral character, a bad guy, but he ends up being a better bad guy than the really bad, bad guys that end up being presented, and in a very entertaining way, the lesser of the bad guys becomes the good guy, and the story is compelling in the process. But still, there's good versus evil, the definition of good varying as the definition of evil can vary. But the generalization still holds true, and still can deliver the best emotional response from an audience, and that was proven for TNA in the setup with Jay Lethal and Ric Flair and the payoff at the pay-per-view. Good job done in both cases. Crowd reaction was there because they had a reason to care. Hopefully TNA will give people a reason to care more often in the future. By the way, congratulations to my client AJ Styles, Alan Jones, who has never been the biggest guy in the game, but has always been phenomenal from the day he was named that by ring announcer Dan the Dragon Wilson at NWA Wildside back in the early 2000s. He was phenomenal then, he's phenomenal now, and he's now recognized, at least by PWI's editorial staff, as the number one wrestler in the top 500 for this year's edition. And that's a tremendous compliment. Yes, it's a work. Yes, it's decided by a group of people that can pick whoever they want. But they picked AJ Styles, and he certainly deserved it. Within his peers, he is considered to be the best wrestler in the world. Frequently you hear Bryan Danielson called that, with all respect to him. He's not. AJ Styles is, and he'll continue to prove that for many years to come, because he's still in his early 30s at only 34 years old, so his best years may well be in front of him. But tremendous congratulations, and well-deserved, and speaks very well to him and also to TNA, who continue to put him in the game and to present him, and hopefully in more and more compelling ways. He's been a great utility player, but also the only guy to carry every version of every belt they've ever had numerous times. And that means he is the face of the company, and I'm sure he's going to continue to be that for the foreseeable future. By the way, as we talk about TV, and I did a little bit ago with Impact, it's amazing to me, all of a sudden it appears people believing that they're the next big thing, or at least a version of a big thing in the wrestling business, are popping up all over the place and in all sorts of genres. You know, of course, we were aware of Wrestlicious, the ladies' version program that is somewhat perversely entertaining in its silliness and sort of a throwback to another time, and that's on the air. We know that there's the pint-sized brawlers, which has been getting a relatively strong audience on Spike. Even the replays have been doing 400,000 or 500,000 viewers, and the primary run has been doing 600,000, 700,000, 800,000, 900,000 viewers, just not that far off of the audience of Impact for Puppet and his crew, with, of course, Midget Wrangler, Spider Nate Webb, one of the original TNA Explosion regulars from back in the day. And so we have that genre. We have a couple of luchas. We've got the Viva La Lucha pay-per-views, the next of which I believe is on August 27th, In Demand and other pay-per-view carriers. Kevin Kleinrock involved in that, ex of Big Vision. And I understand Super Crazy, Blue Demon Jr., and others are on that. But then there's now another lucha one, the MTV2 that just premiered, the Lucha Libre USA. Didn't premiere that impressively, although fine for MTV2 because they don't do much of an audience to begin with, but it did a 0.16 and 178,000 households, and that's sort of a mixed match of lucha. It's utilizing some Mexican talent. Marcus Corleone, formerly Mark Jindrak, is one of the U.S. stars, and they're signing other U.S. stars, I'm hearing, from the independents. Some of the luchadors are actually guys that have worked in Chikara under masks doing the style. So it's a little mix-match kind of thing, but it's out there also. So there's that two lucha projects. NWA member Dave Marquez just announced that he's going to bring back a show that we did as a group, NWA Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He has a taping on August 25th at the Galaxy Theater and a show that intends to start on KDOC in the Los Angeles area on Channel 56. So yet another show out there that'll be more regional, but who knows, could end up being more. There was going to be the next big deal in the Midwest, Metro Pro Wrestling out of the Kansas City area, and for a while it was out of business. Now it believes two out of three of the partners have decided to go forward, and it's got I think it premieres on July 24th at 11 p.m. on the Metro Sports Kansas cable and other regional cable systems. So good luck with that. Then there's also the WSX TV show out of Winnipeg, which has invaded the United States by launching on relatively unknown and relatively difficult-to-view networks like Tough TV, Lone Star TV, and America One. At one time, America One actually was a pretty good thing because back before the growth of cable, the growth of digital satellite, and more importantly, the transition to digital signals and the absence of analog, our own version, there were fewer choices, and many of the independent stations chose America One, which was one of the better of the what we called low-power delivery networks, and I had my programming on it for decades. Delivering, and they delivered as much as 50% of the country with viable stations that you actually could track and viewers that actually paid attention. Some of that's still out there. There's a decent station up in the New York area and a couple here or there, but the marketplace has changed dramatically. And unless you are hooked up to rabbit ears or overhead antenna and have a digital converter box and are getting TV over air in your market, and very few people do, what you'll find is you're going to have an awful lot of trouble finding the Tough TVs, the America ones, the Lone Star TVs, and these other things because they really aren't carried that well on the digital satellite and on a lot of the cable systems. They may be on a tier way into the mix, but whether you find it and whether you're able to get it, it's probably more difficult to find that, or tremendously more difficult than to find High Def Net, the HD Net, that Ring of Honor's on, and that's tough enough for a lot of people to find because it's not that well distributed, although getting a little bit better. But, you know, congratulations to the folk in Winnipeg. By golly, they've got a lot of folk up there. Bob Holly's involved. Kip James is involved. BG James. Shane Helms, the Hurricane's been up there. Chris Daniels, Kevin Thorne, Gangrel, Eugene, even Bushwhacker Luke. So, they've got a bunch of stars, and they've got at least something of a theater in the United States. I doubt they'll make any money on it and that many people will find it. By the way, I mentioned Tough TV is one of those. I actually do get over-air signal at my condo in Atlanta because I gave up with cable. I'm just not there enough days. And I was watching the Tough TV when I got home Saturday night from the Rampage tapings that went pretty well last Saturday in Warner Robins, yet another TV show. That's on the Fox affiliate there at 8:30 in the morning in Warner Robins in Macon. But anyway, so I'm watching the Tough TV, and all of a sudden this really terrible single-shoot wrestling show comes on. I mean, it's just hideously bad. The announcers, it's a who's are they of professional wrestling, literally. You're watching this and going, I don't have a clue who any of you are. The gear was bad. They all looked bad. There were two guys that were Spanish. There were two guys that were heels. Tag match. There looked to be a little bit of a crowd. They said it was big-time wrestling out of Michigan. And with that, I don't want to disrespect big-time wrestling. I'm sure that it is big-time, or why would you wouldn't call it that if it wasn't. But by golly, I'm watching this, and I really was trying to watch that whole match, hoping that the next match would put people in the ring that I had actually heard of. But I didn't have the patience, and I turned and watched Saturday Night Live instead. But even big-time wrestling is on tough TV. So getting on TV is really not that difficult now because there's so many freaking channels. Getting seen and on TV, challenge, and making money from the TV, huge challenge. And that's going to be the albatross as I continue to discuss all these various TVs that are going on that are all over the place. In fact, there have been reports of a brand new startup company that a lot of the indie wrestlers are hoping and praying for out of Florida that is being put together by one half of the Heartbreak Express, Sean Davis, Robert Pascal, and a guy named Peter Karoftis, who I guess promoted years back in the area in a Florida indie. And I'm trying to remind myself of who the heck he was. But at this Florida indie and survived for a couple of years. Nothing that spectacular, it appears, happened in that particular thing. But it appears that they've been able to convince, or are in the process of convincing, I'm not sure what the exact language should be, an investor who is on, if I understand this correctly, the board of directors of Sterling Equities, a fairly considerable New York-based investment group that owns the New York Mets, owns the Mets cable channel, lots of real estate, and a variety of other things. Specifically, it appears, a guy named Milton Wilpon, who's a senior member of a relatively famous family, the Wilpon family. Scott Steiner told me there's a stadium in Michigan named after them, so they've actually, I guess, accomplished something out there for sure. And these guys have, I guess, somehow Robert Pascal and Peter Karoftis have been able to convince this guy so far to invest what I've heard is as much as $5 million. I know there's been a frenzy of trying to get people signed, and a lot of known independent and some known wrestlers have signed. The Internet has announced a few of these people, like Sean Waltman and Vader, and I've heard various others, but no reason to let that cat out of the bag, because my guess is that part of the reason they had to scramble to get people signed to contracts, and certainly this would be eminently logical and in no way intended to be insulting to them, is that they had to, they had to go to this guy that's supposedly going to give them the money and to show that, you know, they got something. And again, not trying to be mean to these guys, but this Peter Karoftis guy, who I think has the historical nickname Lionheart, so I that's pretty cool, used to run a company in Florida that I think was called New Breed, and it was financed sort of oddly at the time, and it vanished and went out of business like most of these things do. And while Sean Davis certainly has had some moments as part of the Heartbreak Express tag team, I just, when those two show up at a meeting at an investment company talking about professional wrestling, obviously it's not like Eric Bischoff showing up, where whether if you subjectively don't like what he did or don't think he did that well, you still can't deny that he was a fairly major player and did some really good things at WCW and made it number one for a period of time. So having these guys show up asking for money is a little different than somebody that's actually been involved in a big company, like, you know, Jerry Jarrett being involved in TNA Startup gave it great credibility. Various people provide credibility. So I'm not exactly sure what provides the credibility, but I'm thinking that having a bunch of talent under contract when wrestling companies offer very little asset and the folk involved don't have a ton of buzz around them, then you got to have a bunch of people under contract. So I have a feeling that's the primary reason for the mass frenzy in contracting. And I know there's a lot of guys out there hoping that this thing triggers in the fourth quarter of this year, which is when ideally people start getting paid. But then the question is, even if they get the $5 million, which is not that much money, easily pissed away in this business for sure, what are they going to do? So even if they produce a TV, well, that's going to spend a good bit of the money. The salaries are going to pay a good bit of the money. They're going to have to try to start house shows, but gosh knows we know how hard it is to draw on the road. Look at TNA's limited success, and it's been around and trying for a while. So, boy, is this one an uphill fight. But hopefully they get going at least, because some people will get paid. So it's amazing to me as I look around at the quantity of television that's out there and the quantity of opportunity now, even if it's not for a lot of money, for independent wrestlers and some of the names to get paid for at least a while, or at least have the hope of getting paid for a while. I don't know if this trend will continue, because usually when the floodgates open like they are now, they close pretty abruptly. And, you know, today, tons of shows. Tomorrow, we'll be back to two companies and Ring of Honor struggling to stay around. But right now, there's an awful lot more going on that's distracting the talent in our business into thinking that opportunities will improve, and let's hope that that's the case. By the way, regardless of all of this, we'll continue to do the relatively low-budget producing that I'm involved in and have been involved in for several decades now, well, at least over a decade. I can't count Smoky Mountain and USWA as that, although they sort of were, but they were done more efficiently and within a different life. But NWA Anarchy TV continues at nwaanarchy.net, and it's up to, I don't know, a couple 300 episodes. Then we are continuing the production at NWA Main Event TV at nwame.com, and we just put up episode 13 of that, so that continues. My library of Wildside programming, 300-and-something programs there, over 5 years of regular production. Those are at nwawildside.com. So a lot of wrestling TV to watch, some of it readily accessible on the Internet, some of it not, and a lot of people trying to get into the wrestling business and hoping that television is the way to make it. My fear is that, as usual, television will be the thing that puts most of these companies out of business quickly, or sooner rather than later. Maybe they'll get lucky. I doubt it, but let's hope so for the people that are getting paid and for the exposure it gives for the talent and for the shot in the butt that it gives the business in general for the period of time that it's around. Can't hurt. It's nice that people are at least bellying up to the bar and trying. Who knows? Somebody might actually get a hit on this, and you can't score a run unless you're on base, so hopefully somebody accomplishes that, because otherwise, it's WWE in control, TNA doing its best and hopefully improving, and Ring of Honor trying to hang on as the top three players, at least in terms of actual delivery and or perceived. So that's about it for this week. People wanting to potentially book wrestling talent, my booking site is sbibookings.com. And I'll be back next week, and we'll be just a few days out at that point from NWA at the Ohio State Fair on August 1st. Again, tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.